Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Four Person Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your enthusiastic and faithful Catholic apostolate. For more information about what we do, go to our show page at thefourpersons.com and our blog site at thefourpersons.net. To call in tonight with your comment or question, dial 515-602-9655. The number, again, is 515-602-9655.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother. I was raised here in this living hell. You don't know my kind in your world. Very soon, the time will tell.
And it's Saturday night. We're taking to the streets with Terry Delp, and we have a loaded switchboard tonight. Just really unbelievable. A lot of callers on, and I know who this one is, so let me type it in real quick. So I'm typing in the name so I can remember who is who. Let me bring Terry on. Terry, we got a loaded switchboard, a lot of enthusiasm tonight. How you doing this evening?
Oh, pretty good, sir. Pretty good. We got a pretty good show tonight. I got some guys who's gonna give their testimony. A lot of times, I'm asked to give a proof of the existence of God, and mm-hmm. many times I just thump myself on the chest and say, "Here I am. I'm the proof."
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
that's what we're gonna do tonight. You know.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna tell you right off the bat who we have, and you tell me who to bring on and in what order, okay? Fair enough. We have Deacon Denny, we have Larry, we have Tommy, we have Tracy, and we have Rosario all on the switchboard right now. So who do we want to go to first?
Let's go to Larry first, because Larry's bringing the first guy on that's going to do the testimony.
Okay.
Then we'll listen to the testimony, and then I'll bring, of course, Deacon Denny is my spiritual counselor. So we'll bring him on, and we'll just open a dialogue.
Fair enough. Larry, welcome to the Four Persons. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me on again. Really great pleasure to be here. I don't know if Joey's on or not. I'm trying to look for his phone number, but he said he was going to come on. So
actually,
a little bit about
you know what? I had Joe and I had Rosario. Rosario, I've got Joe. I lost Rosario. I had it switched. So Joe is on hold, and we're hoping Rosario calls back in. So I stand corrected.
Okay, great. Great. So, yeah, I don't know where to start with this ministry because I am not an ex-offender, and Joe is. He's going to give his testimony, and I don't know a lot about him. I just love him to death because he loves the teaching of the Catholic Church, and he's been out for a number of years, and he still goes to the unit to minister to his brothers in white. A great testimony as to how God works, how these guys allow God to work in their lives, especially through the teaching of the Catholic Church, and that's I'm going to keep it short and sweet.
Okay.
All right, go ahead and bring Joe on. Let him give his testimony.
Joe, welcome on Taking It to the Streets.
Hi. This is Joe, yeah. Rosario is my wife. She just wanted to listen in, really.
I see. Okay.
That's my wife. She's calling in to listen in. But she's listening in. And, where do I start?
How you found the Catholic faith, or how, you know, how either
okay.
converted or reverted to the faith, and bring us up to speed to what's going on now.
Okay, well, I'm actually a revert into the faith because you know, growing up, you know, I was a cradle Catholic, but you know, they didn't instill the baptismal promises that you have when, as a child, you know, they make the promise to raise you in the faith. And so I lost touch of my faith. I lost touch with God. And I ended up going down an ugly road, the dark road, and just getting in trouble, being involved with gangs. And, you know, God could have, you know, let me go there, and I could have ended up, you know, dead or spending the rest of my life in prison, which was really what I thought was going to happen, spending the rest of my life in prison, but God had something else. And I came to know about Jesus Christ. I came to know him. I became a Protestant when I was locked up, and I started studying the faith more. And don't get me wrong, God was right there with me, you know. And as I dove deeper into my walk, I started seeing what I was fighting against, almost like Paul, the way Paul fought against Christians. That's the way I was fighting against the Catholic faith, because all my family was raised Catholic. And so seeing that, wow, there's things that are here that these Protestants, every time I'd go to a different service, they tell me something else. Maybe, you know, you can't lose your salvation. You know, you don't matter how you live, as long as you accept Jesus Christ. And I was like, oh, well, this other one just told me something different. So I, you know, I started really examining my faith in it. I went to an Emmaus walk when I was on Wynn Union in 2009. And I started to question my walk, and I started to look at the faith, look at the Catholic faith. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, I've been speaking against this. And God touched me during that walk. You know,
so it sounds like,
really
Joe,
did.
It sounds like you came to realize that truth has to have unity. You can't have 50,000 different truths. There has to be one unified truth, right? And that kind of puts you on the path, right?
I came to understand that when Jesus Christ said my church will be built on the hilltop and the gates of hell will never prevail, I said, well, that church has still got to exist. Jesus was telling the truth when he said that hell will never. And I started to, I said, man, that faith is a Catholic faith. And that's when I started like really, you know, and, of course I was locked up. So I was locked up 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you find it, you start learning about it, but then, you know, I get sidetracked. And, I started learning about my faith sometimes, and then I throw books under my bunk. And it wasn't until I went through, I went through the program. It's called, God's Boot Camp. And when I got there, it was like God just dropped me off on this unit where I went to go work and put me in a faith-based dorm. And I said, hey, so when's Mass? And they were like, once I said when's Mass, everybody looked at me like if I said something in a derogatory way or something. And they were like, are you Catholic? And I said, yeah. And they were like, oh, this ain't a Catholic faith. Like, this is a Protestant program. Like, and I was like, oh, wow. So I laid down in my bunk. I was in there for a week, and I laid down in my bunk, and I said, God, what am I doing in here? Like, I'm a Catholic. Like, what am I doing? There's, you know, all I've been hearing is, and God spoke to me and said, you want to examine your faith? You want to see how strong it is? Test it. And that's what I did. I spent 2 years in that program learning to defend my faith. And learning, is there any cracks in this? And I learned my faith there, and it made me so much stronger as far as my walk in my Catholic faith. And it made me so much stronger that, you know, as I came out, that was towards the end of my time. So when I came out, I knew that I had to keep my number one. Like, I knew that after serving 16 years, asking God to help me, I said, there's no way I'm going to get out and be able to just say, oh, you know, throw the Bible behind me and throw my faith behind me and say, you know what, now I got to do me. No.
Right.
I got out in 2019, I got out. And I went to a halfway house drug treatment program. And I was supposed to spend 60 days there, that's what I did. But I'm going to tell you, I spent 14 days there before they let you walk out to go look for a job. And the first day that I went to go look for a job, Monday, and by the time I got out of Mass, we had to be back at 2:30, and I'm walking because, you know, I just got out, so I'm walking from the halfway house down the middle of Corpus Christi looking for a job. Well, actually, I went to Mass. I didn't get the time to look for a job on Monday. Tuesday came around. I said, you know what? I'm going to Mass. And I went to Mass again on Tuesday, the noon Mass. And Tuesday night, guy gives me a card, and he says, you know what? I don't do this kind of work. This guy gave me a card. Here, you want it? And I was like, yeah, I'll call him. And I called him. And the next day I had a job, and I was probably getting paid the highest in that halfway house for getting that job. Not even the first 2 days, I never even went to look for a job. I went to Mass, and, you know, and slowly God's been helping me, man. There's been struggles, of course, you know, you get out after this time. I did 2 years on the GPS monitor, you know, and that's not an easy thing to do, schedule every movement that you do. You know, and I kept Mass in there every Sunday. I go to Mass every Sunday. And that's what I tell people. Like, you got to stand on something. When you get out, like, you have a lot of people that they profess to be Christians, and they get out, and I can't find the right church. I can't find the right church.
Right.
I can go to anywhere in the world, and I'm going to find the Catholic Church and know what's going on. That's what I love about our faith.
Yep.
Right. And so Terry, what are you doing now, Joe, and as far as I know Larry said you was reaching back and helping some of the guys. What are you doing now for the you know, for those that are still locked up?
So what I've been doing now is when I got out, you know, I was limited because of the GPS monitor, but as soon as that came off, you know, I had made a promise to come back and to go back to our brothers in light. And just to, you know, I wanted to show them that a lot of people say, you know, when you get out, you can do this, you do that, but you don't serve God or you don't remember your brothers. So I joined the Kobe Ministry, and doing that, I've got great friends in the ministry that have followed me from when I was locked up to when I'm now, and we serve together now. You know, I did a retreat in McConnell a while back, and I just like to, because I know how it felt like when somebody that came in to the prison that has been in prison and came in and said, man, you know what, you can do it, you know, and you know, you just got to, you got to be strong, you can't take no shortcuts. That's what I tell the men in there. I said, you can't take no shortcuts. When I was on top of that roof on the American Bank Center and I was I was silicone on that roof, you think I like that? At the time I did, you know, and but I said, you know what, I'm going to take whatever job they give me, and whatever job God gets me, I'm going to do. And that's what I told the men. You know, I go in there and I help them with, you know, RCIA sometimes, or I go in there and just, you know, speak to them. They like to see people that have gotten out and are doing it, you know. And that's just big for me, man, because it doesn't only just bless them. Man, it blesses me so much because it's just a reminder, man, that, like, to be grateful. God has done so much to me. I have my own business. I still have I have a great job, and man, God, I mean, I tell people it's the structure of the faith. God, Jesus Christ was a man. He was an only God. He was a genius, man. I love to go to the sacraments. I love going to confession, because it helps you. It helps you stay on the path. When you see the Eucharist, you have to be in it. You have to walk a certain way. You can't just go up there and not believe. You know, it's the body of Christ. And I got to go up there a certain way. And at church, I'm a Eucharistic minister. You know, I'm a Knights of Columbus. And I tell people, man, I said, I remember before I went to prison, I said, I could see every cop and they knew who I was. I said, now I see everybody from church. The priest knows who I am. The deacons know who I am. All the people from church know who I am. You know, because, you know, I changed, man. God changed me. You know? I have a beautiful wife, and, you know, she's just as Catholic as I am. And God gave me everything with her, like, that I had asked for. Like, I said, I want a Catholic wife. I want somebody that's strong and doesn't allow me to just do what I want to do, you know, do what's best. And she serves in the faith. She, too, serves in prison ministry. And, man, together, man, we do great things.
That's fantastic testimony.
Awesome. That's pretty, yeah, that's the type of stuff we need to hear, like, not enough, because, man, I know there's a lot of us. Tommy, he's kind of airwave shy, but he has a really great testimony. And there's a lot of brothers that are out here living the Catholic faith. I would like for you to bring Deacon Denny on next, because I was Catholic when I first met Deacon Denny, but I didn't have that fire, and Deacon Denny helped ignite it. So,
Deacon, welcome.
Well, hey, it's really good to be part of this. I'm very honored and privileged to be part of that. And known Terry for a long, long time. I've known him from when he was inside. And he got involved with the Brothers of St. Dismas retreat. It's similar to the Kobe prison ministry. But what happens after that is guys get on fire. The Holy Spirit comes and lights the fire. And then they join the Brothers of St. Dismas. And that group continues, meets monthly. And like at the WIN unit, that program now has grown to 160 members of Brothers of St. Joseph, 160 brothers. And the goal, and this is a goal not set by me, but set by them, is to get to 300. But to get 300 by the end of the year. And so that's a tremendous thing, having 300 active participating Catholics all, you know, praising the Lord and coming to Mass and celebrating Mass and supporting one another, being there, not being afraid to talk about their faith, not being afraid to, you know, and like Joe, I commend you for staying in there with the faith-based dorm and learning to defend your faith because, you know, that's the one true faith. You know, it's you know, this idea, once saved, always saved, basically, well, it don't work.
No.
I shouldn't say that. But it's like there's lots of things that Jesus wants us to do and really commands us to do. One is to, yes, be baptized, yes, and accept him as our Lord and Savior and be baptized. But he also wants us to receive the sacrament of the Eucharist. He says, if you don't receive this, you shall not inherit eternal life. You don't receive
Amen.
The sacrament of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. He also says that you are to those, when you go out and you feed the hungry and clothe the naked, visit sick and in prison, give drink to the thirsty. When you do that, he never said that. He says, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. He says, whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you do for me. And that includes visiting the men inside, men and women inside prison. And so when we visit inside prison, we're visiting Jesus, many Jesus Christ's inside prison. And then lastly, it says, obey my commands. If you love me, obey my commands, and you will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's how we get the kingdom of God. It is a lifelong journey. And I think with programs like, you know, Colby Ministry, Brother St. Dismas, Colby House, Dismas House, St. Anthony House, all these faith-based communities and faith-based organizations are just doing a tremendous job helping men that are in, you know, bringing the message of Jesus Christ, that message of hope and love and forgiveness and joy and salvation, and bringing that message into the, well, we used to call it the devil's playground, but bringing it inside prison and, you know, bring it to men that are discouraged, that may have given up, that are filled with despair. And we dump out the despair and we fill them up with the grace. I sometimes refer to when you're out of gas, when you're totally spiritually out of gas, fill yourself up with gracoline. Just pour in mm-hmm. that grace, pour in that grace. Turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I need your help. And he's going to be there to pick you up and keep you going, keeping you strong in the faith, help you to resist the temptation. That's what our faith is all about, is being
right.
And picking up the broken pieces and gluing them lovingly back together in the beautiful image that he wants us to be.
Yeah, you're so mm-hmm. right, Deacon. You know, I've had people I've talked to that I've explained to them, you know, when they say to me, well, you know, I can't believe I fell again. I can't believe I committed the same sin again. And I got to get my strength up. I got to get my courage up so I can go back to confession. And I'm like, no. You got it backwards. You go back to confession so you can get strong. You don't get strong so you can go back to confession. You got to remember where the strength comes from. Sorry, Terry, didn't mean to cut you off there.
No. That's a very good point. I preach that a lot myself. Confession, you know, at the very least, every Catholic should be going at least once a month. And I remember when I first became Catholic and I was confessing really bad sins every time I went, and it's almost a sense of accomplishment now that sometimes I go to confession and the priest would give me a look like, you know, like, are you serious? Like, really? That's what I had one priest. He didn't even give me a penance. I had to tell him before I left. I was like, Father, what is my penance? He's like, oh, just say an Our Father and three Hail Marys. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's kind of, you know, and it feels good to be able to walk in that grace. I had a question, and this is kind of for Deacon Denny, Larry, and Tommy, because you guys are kind of, leaders in your own ministries. And I had a question, because all of y'all are out of Texas. do y'all coordinate with one another or like assist if there's assistance needed? Do y'all communicate at all?
Now, Terry, just to let you know really quick, Tommy and Tracy are still on mute, just so you know.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I need Tommy to answer that one, too. And then we can bring Tracy on. Yeah.
All right, I'll bring Tommy on. Tommy, you're on Taking It to the Streets. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be on. Me and Deacon Denny work very closely. We're part of the same organization. And the other gentleman, I don't think I've met.
I know y'all have talked before. He's the gentleman out of, I believe, San Antonio. Is that right, Larry?
Oh, okay.
I am actually from the Hill Country in Fredericksburg. And Joey, you're from, are you from San Antonio or Corpus? I forgot.
I'm staying in Pleasanton. I live in Pleasanton right now. So it's a stone throw away from San Antonio.
Okay.
Okay, so
the thought I had that, you know, the prison ministry, man, there's not a lot of interest in it. And I was thinking if we started connecting, you know, of course in Texas, but I'm talking about around the United States, we would be able to assist one another in areas where one might be lacking, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's always, like, for example, we, Brother St. Dismas and Colby House, we cooperate with the Colby Prison Ministry, again, in Texas. But we do get inquiries to come to the Colby House, which is a Catholic faith-based, we call it, it's a transitional house. It's a transformational house. It's a home. And it's where guys, you know, when they leave there, they say, you know, they refer to it as their home. That's where they live. That's their home. But we get things coming in from all over the country. They're moving to Texas.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, as far as like, we go to the Colby thing. We go to the Colby conference once a year to make sure, you know, to advertise the availability of the houses, and now we have two houses right now, and we've got a property for the third house, and it'll be, you know, that's on the drawing board. So.
Awesome. John, you want to bring Tracy on and see if they have anything to say?
Tracy, welcome to the Four Persons. Welcome to Taking the Streets. And I'll just say before you speak, Tracy, Terry, I don't think I've ever had a show that had this many people on and we're not getting feedback and background noise and all that squealing that we normally get. It's pretty unbelievable. It shows the good Lord is working through the switchboard tonight.
Well,
it's
yeah,
good.
I think
that's
it's
good.
And we're all gone.
Before you bring Tracy on, yeah, Tracy. I knew Tracy way back when he was at when he was stationed at Connolly. So, my brother, good brother Tracy, man, welcome aboard.
Yes. Yes.
You
thank
tell
you,
us
Larry.
Journey?
Huh?
Tracy, you want to give us a brief synopsis of your journey?
Oh, sure. Well, I've been locked up 26 years, and I had the opportunity to have Ms. Clara McCormick talk to Tommy for me to get into this Colby Transformational. And I was like calling him every day trying to get in, trying to make sure my spot is still available. But this is an awesome experience. I wouldn't trade no other place. You know, this Colby Ministries that they got here is beautiful. You know, they do it, go and feed the homeless, and they take them clothes. I just love it, you know. It makes me proud to be a Catholic.
You're at the house in Houston?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Okay, all right. Didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. Yeah. But, you know, I had, like Larry said, I've been knowing Larry for a minute, and I became a Catholic when I was down there in the Connolly unit, and it's no turning back. You know, I just love the faith. And like I said, here at the Kobe House, we have fellowship together. We have mass together and Bible studies. And, you know, it's just an awesome experience.
Tracy, awesome, it's an awesome, awesome God that we serve, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's an awesome God.
Oh, hey, my wife's here listening, and Deacon Dennis, she said she misses making those bags.
Well, come on down anytime. Yeah, we make care packages. Oh, can I tell a little personal story about your wedding there, Terry, or is that too personal?
Sure, no, go ahead, man. That's an awesome story, and glory to God.
Yeah, you brought up Loretta. So, well, Loretta and Terry, Loretta was not she was not baptized yet, she wanted to get married in the church. So what mm-hmm. happened is on a Saturday. The priest, our priest at St. Maximin Kolbe agreed, and I got, there was a lot of paperwork, but we got a lot of everything signed. So she was baptized at 10. She was, she was baptized, and then they had a mass with a marriage wedding in it. She was baptized, confirmed, had the wedding, received her first communion at the wedding mass. And all that happened in one day. So she received baptism.
And her first confession on the same day, too. There was five sacraments in one day.
It was amazing. Wow. It was nothing short of a miracle. And here's the thing about that is that, you know, several years now, that's been, you guys have been married for a while. And, you know, for
that
years.
That was in
and,
2017, I believe.
Yeah. So, yeah, six years ago, and still to this day, every time she sees my wife and I, she says, you know, my wedding day was the best day of my life. The best day of my life. And it just tickles my wife to no end, and me as well. It's just, you know that sometimes the church is accused of having too many rules and regs and all that kind of stuff, but that one day, all the tumblers came together and all the stars lined up, and God was pulled all the strings, and everything came together, and it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day.
What a fantastic story.
Oh, hey, and then my wife said, you know, don't forget that we got to eat with the priest that day. You know, that was really a big thing for her. The priest wouldn't take my money. He wouldn't take my money. And so, you know, I was still kind of, you know, young and forceful. And so I kind of forced it in his hand. And so he just took the money and said, okay, where y'all want to eat at?
Yeah, we went out for steak. That was a beautiful thing. Beautiful.
Yeah, that was an awesome day. And, you know, I think I would like to do more shows like this. I would like to get Oscar's testimony. I would like to dedicate some shows to, like, you know, and I know the guys who are going to do it are going to have to, you know, because it's not always easy talking about, you know, your journey. It don't always roll off the tongue if you're trying to do it just off the cuff. So sometimes you got to do a little studying and mm-hmm. you know, write down, you know, specific chronological events. That took place or whatnot, but I would like to start every now and then dedicating a whole show to one person to just come on and just tell us from the beginning to the end, from before the beginning of your faith, like, you know, what had you? I heard, Joe, you said you were involved with gangs, and that's one of the things that kind of had me wrapped up too. And, you know, some of the other things that, you know, I have – the devil uses as like a hook to keep you in his kingdom with the little K
I think it's a fantastic idea, Terry. And when people go to the website, thefourpersons.com, and click on you as a team member, it brings up all the shows that you're associated with. So people would see that, and they'll see under Terry Delp, they'll see Terry's story, Larry's story, Tommy's story, Tracy's story, Joe's story. I think it's a great idea because what you guys, the testimony that you guys give is so very important. I don't want you to miss how important it is, because there's a lot of people out there, and I don't have the background that you guys have. I'm not going to claim that I do, but there's been a lot of times when I've given into that temptation to think, well, I've messed up too bad. God can't save me. I'm beyond all hope. I've fallen into that trap myself, and there are a lot of other people out falling into that trap, and you guys have the street credibility to be able to say, no. God can save me. He can save anybody. You know,
I know that's right, brother.
You've got that credibility, and it's very, very important.
Amen, amen.
And a lot of times, man, that's why I try to tell folks, is like our stories are extreme, right? I mean, God, I mean, literally reached down into a man-made hell and pulled us out, right? So our stories are a little bit extreme. But I like to, when I'm testifying to people who have no idea of what I'm talking about or can't even imagine the life that we've lived, I try to remind them, like, yeah, my story might be extreme. I was on the same boat that a lot of you guys are on. And I'm talking to the crowd that have never did anything, you know, that was so obviously sinful, you know. And I tell them, I was on the same boat that a lot of y'all are on right now, and that's that one-way boat to hell. I say, just because I've done some extreme things, just because I've been to prison, doesn't make my story much different than yours. Because the thing is, we all need Jesus Christ. We all need the sacraments of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And just because you've never, you know, robbed nobody or shot nobody, if you haven't submitted your will to Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. You know, it don't matter how extreme or moderate your sin is. If you haven't submitted your will to Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. And now, of course, our stories are a lot more colorful, and people like to hear these extreme cases of conversion. And I'd like to get more of it out there on the air. If y'all are willing to, sit down for 45 minutes and give a really complete testimony of your story, what you was doing before, what led you to Catholicism
Let me just say this, Terry. If any of you are not comfortable in telling your story live, we can tape it. We can do a video call or something like that. We can tape it and play it on a tape delay, and even if you want to do it that way, the beauty of taping it is I've got editing software, so you can tell me, oh, I want you to take that part out, or that part that I said there, I don't want that to be on there, and we can go and do that. The important thing is, like Terry said, getting your story out there, you know, where people can hear it. Very important.
Especially for guys getting out, convicts that are Catholic and are getting out of prison, the world, and I know all of you guys that's been to prison that's on right now, I know all of y'all have experienced this. The world just automatically assumes, you know, once a convict, always a convict, you know, there's no way you're going to change. Yeah, you put on a song and dance, and you made everybody believe you was a Christian, but we know what's really going to happen. I know when I walked out of the walls unit, the guy that let me out to my freedom, he told me, he said, we're going to keep a cell open for you. You know, I mean, and the whole world it seems like the whole world is against you, right? And so our stories are really particularly necessary for Catholics that are just getting out and are wanting to live their faith, and they're looking at the world, and the world is like, you know, sneering at them, and telling them that they're going to go back and trying to hinder their faith. Well, I believe our stories will strengthen their faith, you know.
Because people who say that, Terry, have missed the point. They've missed the point, okay? They're actually right in one respect. Joe and Tracy, Tommy and Larry and Terry cannot change. You can't. You can't change from the person that you were. But there's no limit to what God can do. There's no limit to what God can do. That's what it boils down to. When you start realizing that it's not your work, it's God's work, well, that's when the whole dynamic changes.
I'd like to, if I could say something right quick. Yeah, I like the thing that, man, with guys that are coming out that are Catholic, I tell them, man, you've got to keep doing, do you miss Mass? Because I talk to them when they're locked up and they're going home, and they're like, no, we don't miss Mass. I said, that's exactly the way you have to do it when you get out. I said, because one Sunday you're going to miss, and then you're going to be like, oh, a little bit further and a little bit further. I said, man, that's what, you want to know what keeps me successful, keeps me going, keeps me pushing? Being active in the faith, being active in the church, you know, that's the thing that helped.
I
I want to say something. And Joey brings up a great point, because there's a lot of guys that are very, very faithful Catholics while they're locked up, and a whole bunch of them, they're teaching RCIA and what have you. And I think I brought light to this in our last talk show, that I see a lot of these guys that get that come out on parole, and all of a sudden it's a big candy store out there. And what I'm noticing is that they stop going to church and they fall away. So the concern is, how do we bring them back? Because there is a loss of their salvation. You know, there's great concern for their souls. And so, you know, it's another issue that I think needs to be addressed. And I don't know how to go about doing that. Maybe Joey can maybe bring some light to that. I don't know.
I think Tracy wanted to say something.
Since he brought that point up, I'd like to comment on that point first. I think maybe that we should, you know, a lot of brothers that have been incarcerated, they know how to talk to each other, right? Because we, you know, we got that lingo where we talk to each other, even though we become Catholic brothers, but we know how to try to, like, look, brother, what's going on? And then to pull you back, you know what I'm saying? Maybe we need to come talk to you. Because since I've been out, I've talked to a lot of brothers on the phone, and we just ecstatic, you know, that, and I encourage them to continue to stay on the path as well, and they do the same to me. And so we kind of pull each other to lift each other up. And that's what I noticed about Catholic brothers. We always reach and grab the hand of another brother that might be falling. So I think we just got to continue to try to reach out to brothers that might have missed the Mass here and there, and try to, hey, brother, what's going on? See what's going on with him.
Do you guys mind if I ask the question here? Deacon, I want to ask you this question, and I'm asking it because I don't know the answer. So I'm throwing it out there for what it might be worth. You guys are supporting each other, lifting each other and holding each other accountable. How much of this, the backsliding, do you think might be caused by someone gets out in the real world and they're trying to integrate back into society, and they're going in there with this attitude that I'm a new person, I'm a new creation, kicks them in the head. Because, you know, you're like Terry was saying a minute ago, you know, you're trash and you'll always be trash. You know, if somebody's calling you trash every day, after a while you start to believe it. How much of it is that a factor?
John, I'm going to tell you from personal experience. I got out in 2009, and I was on fire. I was on fire telling just complete strangers on the bus stop all about my faith, you know. And I went to this is the thing. We need that group. We need that group of brothers to hold one another accountable. I was going to Mass, but I didn't know any other Catholics in the area where I paroled to in San Antonio. So I went to is a we pray the rosary for 40 days in front of an abortion clinic, right? And the devil has been around since the time of Adam and Eve. One of us cannot beat the devil, not one of us. He's always going to attack us where we're weakest at. And if you've been locked up for a decade or more and you get out and you're under 40 years old, your main weakness is going to be a female. And that's how he got me to fall. I got into mortal sin, stopped going to church, and I was I had fallen, man. I was headed back towards to hell, and I cried out to God in mortal sin. Still, I cried out to God, show me if what I'm doing is wrong, you know. And I almost it's a whole nother story. I almost got killed, and that was the moment when I was like, okay, God answered my prayer, and I was able to go to confession. I moved to Houston and surrounded myself with the Brothers of St. Dismas. But that was my story. But everybody has a weakness, you know, whether it be, you know, and almost everybody, like I said, if you've been gone more than 10 years and you're under 40 years old, that female temptation, I mean, if the devil can get you into one mortal sin, he's gonna do his best to hold you until he can kill you and drag you down into hell. And so, you know, we've got to be conscious of one another's weaknesses so that when we see one another slipping, we can pick each other up, you know?
Yeah, and that's the important thing. If you go back and look at the numbers, people that are unchurched coming out of prison, men coming out of prison, between 40% and 60% will probably return to prison because they'll either reoffend or violate parole. And between 40% and 60%, so that means out of every 100 guys that get out of prison, 40 to 60 are going back. Now that number goes down if they go on a retreat and they're plugged into like a faith-based community in prison. Number goes down below 20%. So that's a significant drop. But the problem still remains. Once they get out, they've got the scarlet letter on their forehead that they've been in prison. And so they may be on fire. They may be a completely transformed servant of the Lord, a man of God. But people have to accept them for who they are now, not who they were. And that's where programs like the Colby House and things like that work, because what it does is in the case of the Colby House, we have three things that work for us. One, we have a house. Two, we've got someone like Tommy who has just got the zeal of a missionary to go to bat for these guys over and over and over again and be there always for them, a shepherd for them all the time. And three, we've got a connection with a local parish, which is the St. Maximin Colby parish just a couple miles away. And so men from that parish come over and they participate every Tuesday night in the mass that we have. We have a celebrated mass every Tuesday night we built a chapel behind the house. It's called the Chapel of Divine Mercy. So every Tuesday night we have mass celebrated there. Then every Wednesday night we have pizza, prayer, and popcorn. Again, guys come over from St. Maximin Colby, volunteers, ministers. They come over and they participate, and we have pizza, we have popcorn, and we have prayer. We watch oftentimes it's video based, and then we discuss it later, and we end with either a prayer or a rosary. And it's those types of things that keep the guys connected and help them get fully reintegrated in a real strong way and a successful way back into society. But here's the problem. There aren't enough Colby houses. There aren't enough Dismas houses. There aren't enough St. Anthony houses. They need to have, there needs to be 1,000 of them. Where we got two, and they need to be 2,000 of them. Get it all.
Amen.
You know, and that's Tracy, yeah. And we need to with a missionary zeal, to go out and the thing is, the men at the Colby House, I'd put them up, as far as their faith, I'd put them up against any guy, any parishioner at St. Maximin Colby. They are as devout. They are on fire for the Lord. In fact, they do homeless outreach programs where they actually go under the bridges and they hand out care packages of food and clothing. And as of been doing this for 2 years, and as of the June distribution, we've done over 36,000 pounds of care packages, 36,000 pounds of food in the form of 5-pound care packages going out to men under the street, women under the street, mostly men, but out to them that are homeless and being there for them and encouraging them, showing them that we care. I think that's the old adage. You know, no one cares what you know until they know that you care. And,
let me just say this, Deacon.
Go ahead.
I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You guys, I mean, this is a megaphone here, you know, for you guys to use, and I consider Terry a brother. You guys won't get any judgment from me. I consider all of you brothers, because I know what it's like to feel like, you know, I'm completely lost and then I was found. The only thing that I'm going to say, though, is all of you from Texas, don't even try to get me to be a Dallas Cowboy fan. Ain't happening, okay? That's the only line I draw.
Okay, you mean, how about a Houston Astro fan? That's a better Houston Astro.
Yeah, for real. So
and
it
the
does
Packers.
Take community. It does take
Packers,
community. It does take community. It takes strong Catholic men, not only keeping one another accountable, but knowing, okay, I got a problem. Who can I go? So now I'm living in Ohio, and I don't have that community up here that I had down there. But believe me, I am working on establishing a chapter of Brothers Same Distance up here. I am working on it.
Amen.
But the community is necessary. Sometimes I find myself up here now. I am, you know, in this neighborhood, the people that know me, just because of the way I am, I'm the what I like to call the go-to guy. If my neighbor, I got a single mother living next door, and if her tire gets flat at 2 a.m. in the morning, and she's going to give me a call, and she knows that me and my wife are going to come out there and help her, you know. But when I have problems, when I have, you know, something I'm dealing with, I don't have nobody to go to. Yeah, of course I pray about it and this and that, but it takes other Catholic men. You need other Catholic men in your life, that community of strong Catholic men, in order to keep one another headed straight towards Jesus. And that community is necessary to keep one another strong in Christ. You know, I think the scripture alludes to it over and over and over again, you know. And it's the same thing now, even with us as ex-convicts. I mean, we're ex-convicts. I mean, we were strong men before we became Catholic. Now we're Catholic, so we are Catholic strong men, you know. And we need that community of other like-minded men in order to keep us pointed in the right direction, because, like I said, the devil is very intelligent, and he's going to attack you wherever you're weakest. And when you got to your brothers that know your strengths and your weaknesses, they can tell, hey, like Tracy said earlier, like, hey, brother, what's going on, man? I see, you know, this or that, you know, and keeping one another both accountable and, like the Bible says, iron sharpens iron, you know. Well, if you're a sword by yourself long enough, your sword's going to get dull.
Brother Terry.
Yes, sir.
I have some brothers talk to me on the phone, and they were telling me, like, man, do you know this guy here? He's converted Catholic, and he's converted Catholic. And I was like, these brothers that I don't grew up with, you know, in the unit. And I was just so proud.
I have no idea what that is. What's going on, John?
Not me.
Hold on a second.
Not me. I don't know what that is.
Not me.
6 minute warning.
It's my phone.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Okay.
6 minute
Sorry
warning.
No, it was my phone. I thought I had it turned off.
if I could say something right quick, it's a joke. I have 35 days left of parole, and for I was not allowed in a county in Texas, but that's where I spent the last 2.5 years of my prison sentence, was on the Torres unit, 5 days. And after that, I'm going to go visit my brothers over there in the Torres unit and let them know that it's for real, that this faith walk is for real.
That's what's up.
Tracy had a celebration today.
I sure did.
Oh,
thank you, Tommy. I unplugged my monitor.
Hey, good. So you got rid of it?
Yeah, I just got to take it in Wednesday, but I unplugged it.
Oh,
that was a great thing. I thank
Pro
God.
Officer called him and told him to unplug it.
Yeah, that's right.
That he was off.
Well, that's good, man. I'm glad to hear it.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Good deal, Tracy. Good deal. Wow.
Well,
what I'd say is it's all about connectedness, about man connecting with other men, and a man connecting with a church, with his church, and a man connecting with God. And all those connections, when they're strong, when they're healthy, then you got a man, a servant of the Lord that's fully 100% committed to being a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're looking, that's what we're building, and that's what we're seeing. When all this program works, men of God are the result. Fully reintegrated, successful men of God, happy to serve the Lord, happy to roll up their sleeves and cheerfully do the work of the Lord wherever that might be. It's a blessing. It's just such a blessing to see it.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry.
We gotta wrap it up here shortly, but I know it's my show comes on Saturday evenings on the weekend, and I know a lot of y'all have other obligations and whatnot, but I would like to do this again. Maybe Tommy, you can give them my number, and Larry, you can give Joe my number, and we'll start connecting a little bit more. And I would like to start doing at least 2 shows a month, having brothers come on and give their entire testimony, like, from the beginning to now, and with the things that like for me, okay, I became Catholic. So when I became, I was a gang leader on the B01 unit, and I noticed that the Catholic services had absolutely no security guards in there. So I was like, hey, man, that's a good place to hold meetings. And so in order to not get the services shut down, I got with other gang leaders. And we kept like a police force going on in there so that the mass was never disturbed. And
that's right.
Wouldn't you know it, that since everybody had to keep their mouth shut during mass, the only person to listen to would be the priest. And the priest got me. He got me thinking about the thing, And so that's why I like to say the devil can use a crooked stick to draw. God can use a crooked stick to draw a straight line, because the devil had me thinking I was one up, but God used that to bring me to the Catholic faith, And it's those little details that I would like to hear in these testimonies, because I know none of us were just sitting in our cell one day. It was like, hey, man, I think it'd be a good idea to be Catholic. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all
keep in touch with me, and let's put something together on this Taking It to the Streets show. Maybe once a month or twice a month, we could have a testimony. One guy just come on and give all glory to God.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Down for it.
Deacon, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Sure, I'd be honored. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jesus, you are the Son of the Eternal Father, and you are the Son of Mary Immaculate. Through our baptism, you invited us to share our gift of our lives in service to others. Be with us as we choose each day to show your presence in our world. Give us courage and generosity to respond to your love and to your call. Pray especially for those who serve you as priests and brothers and sisters and deacons, and especially lay ministers who are working in the prison ministry. Keep them especially close to you. Grant all the faithful true generosity in following your call. And bestow on us all the grace of your Holy Spirit to persevere in overcoming all obstacles to our vocations. Amen. So it may always be.
Amen.
The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you all so much for coming on. I appreciate it. Let's shoot for another show together, maybe 2 weeks from now, if y'all are available.
Amen.
We'll be in contact, Terry.
Hey. Actually, three weeks from now will be better. 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be working that evening, so that's going to be difficult for me, and we're going to have to make other arrangements for that show. But me and Terry will get together off the air, and we'll work it out.
All righty.
Sounds good.
All right, God bless y'all. All right, folks, and now we're going to get into the second half of our doubleheader, special doubleheader show tonight. Catholicism Rocks kicks off now.
You are listening to the Four Persons Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your enthusiastic and faithful Catholic apostolate. For more information about what we do, go to our show page at thefourpersons.com and our blog site at thefourpersons.net. To call in tonight with your comment or question, dial 515-602-9655. The number, again, is 515-602-9655.
Looking for a Catholic counselor? Dr. Peter Klapones, Deb Rojas, and the team at Integrity Counseling Services provide faithful Catholic counseling in Pennsylvania and beyond. We offer telehealth and in-person counseling for porn addiction, betrayal trauma, anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, and much more. You can find us at integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781. That's integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781.
Looking for a Catholic counselor or coach? Dr. Fred Boley provides faithful Catholic counseling and coaching for men in Missouri and beyond. He conveniently offers telehealth services for anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, or just getting stuff done. You can find him at stbarn.org or 872-269-1280. Once again, the number is 872-269-1280.
She is a Catholic recording artist, multi-award winning songwriter. She sings contemporary and folk rock music. She has been in the music industry for over 5 years. Her music is her ministry. She aims to help people that suffer from all kinds of pain in life and try to bring them to the Lord through her music. She has 3 albums out and her music is being played on radio stations all over the world. Her website is lisamarienicole.com and she is on social media. Her music page is facebook.com Lisa Songs of Worship. YouTube at Lisa M. Nicole. Instagram Lisa_Marie_Nicole_official. Her songs can be purchased on her website, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and everywhere else. Her merchandise store has everything for her ministry and can be accessed through her website. Her new CDs will be available very soon and can be purchased through her website. She counts herself blessed that God has chosen her to help spread his message. She is Lisa Marie Nicole. Get her music today.
The Four Persons Inc. is a licensed 501c3 nonprofit. All rights reserved. No use of our content is allowed by law without our permission. Our goal is to bring you the very best Catholic content possible. Going forward, we will continue to bring you the best apologists, educational programming, devotionals, and live charitable and social outreach and activism. However, we cannot continue to bring this great programming without your help. All of our members are volunteering their time and efforts, but the hosting, programs, licensing, and subscriptions needed to keep this going costs money. Right now, our credit card platform is not yet operational, but you can still send your tax-deductible gift to the Four Persons Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. That donation address again is the Four Persons Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. If you are interested in advertising on our shows or have any questions or comments of any kind, email us at email@thefourpersons.com or call us at 240-728-6531. And now, welcome to Catholicism Rocks, brought to you by our friends at CatholicismRocks.com. This is our weekly Sunday night show dedicated to the premise that there is nothing better than being a Catholic.
Just like that, our regular Sunday night show is now going to become our regular Saturday night show. And at least for a while, Ed Gravelin is not going to be available as the show host. Had to take a little bit of a medical leave. So for this week, at least, and in the next couple of weeks, we got a couple of things going on in the next couple of weeks that we're going to have to iron out. But at least for this show and going into the future, it's going to be myself and my co-host, who I'm going to try to bring on right now, if the technology works. Cherry, are you there?
Hi, Dan. Hello. How are you?
We have...
Thank you for having me.
Cherry Maestro Mallorca from the Philippines. And how's it feel to be co-hosting Catholicism Rocks?
Hello, everyone. Hi, Jen. How are you? Do you hear me?
Yep, I hear you loud and clear. Why don't you...
Thank you for having me.
You're certainly welcome. And why don't you... start by, there were some things you want to say to tell everybody about Catholicism Rocks. Go ahead.
All right. First of all, I am grateful for having me part of this show. The Catholicism Rocks indeed is a very powerful platform and community to promote Catholics, especially those who are and connect with one another. This site is for you and by you. We want to give you a platform to share your opinions, ideas, and questions, and provide what you think could be good solutions to this ongoing crisis in the church. So what is this amazing in this Catholicism Rocks? You know that we are having so many problems in the church right now. The world is against us. The world is against the faith. Many of our priests are failing us. Our job is to become saints and to help one another and our children to become saints as they are called to be. Most everyone has abandoned the faith or simply goes to Mass because it is something that they have always done. We want a better for our church and for our children. It is difficult, though, when you are isolated. That is why we created this website to help you connect with us. For the knowledge that we have, the knowledge that were given to us by God, we want to share it with you and with one another. So, my partner, John, thank you for having me. Thank you for making me as part of this amazing show, thepoorperson.com. I am blessed to have you. God is good. God is great.
Yeah, this really has really turned out to be form, and we really have, in addition to Catholicism Rocks, we have a great platform over here, and we're doing very well working together as partners. And you know, we've got some great apologists here. We've got William Hemsworth. We've got Luke Haskell. We've got Ken Litchfield, Terry Delp, who was just on with us now. We got a pretty good group here. And we have some great specials. Last night we had Swan Sona on. Great show with William Hemsworth. Had Gary Machuto on earlier today. We're just really doing a lot of great things. But having said that, Cherry, you're right. I mean, the church is in trouble right now. The church has got a lot of problems. So you have the ability to give us a little bit of an insight that we don't have here in the States. What are some of the unique challenges facing the church in the Philippines as opposed to the United States?
All right. So thank you so much for just giving me the opportunity to share. As the Filipinos, we are actually faithful Catholics by nature, but a lot of different Christian denominations are actually coming out, and that's how somehow make confusions to the new generation. So with this Catholicism Rocks, as our mission is to provide a media, that ministry that serves Christ by explaining and defending the Catholic faith, especially to the new generation. We help Christians grow in their faith. As we bring former Catholics home, we lead non-Catholics into the fullness of the faith. We use various media platforms. So I am making also some blogs and videos in my YouTube channel, Miss Cherry Acronym Lady, and I also have LinkedIn, and this Facebook group, the Catholicism Rock, is also part of my ministry as I contribute my videos and blogs every day.
And we're going to be taking those videos that she's made. We'll be reviewing them after the show, and we'll upload them to our YouTube site too. So Cherry's going to be helping us with that. And we also have Chantal Rains, who is also in the Philippines, who has kind of taken over as our social media expert. So we've got a lot of stuff. There are a lot of balls in the air between Cherry's apostolate, Catholicism Rocks, and the Four Persons are three different apostolates that are all working together in partnership, in fellowship, because Cherry, we all serve the same God. We're all on the same mission, right?
Right. Right. That's true. So we have one God, we have one faith, so we have one mission to share this. And this the goal and mission of Catholicism is to connect all Catholics, not only in the Philippines, not only in Ireland, in the United States, but all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
That is not easy, right?
No, it's not easy, but I can remember a time in my lifetime when it would have been impossible. I want you folks to think about this. I'm having a conversation on the air that can be heard all around the world, and I'm having that conversation in real time with somebody who lives 9,000 miles away from me, 15,000 kilometers away from me, and yet we're having a conversation with each other in real time and broadcasting that conversation literally around the world. That is the power of evangelism today is unprecedented. And what a shame that so many people are using this vast untapped area of technology for all of the wrong things. And we're trying to use it for the right thing. So talk a little bit about the people at Catholicism Rocks. Talk about the directors and the group over there and kind of what they're doing.
Actually, personally, Sean and Sean Mary, as the director and the founder of the Catholicism Rocks, invited me to help this ministry by creating videos, by connecting with them. Although I am quite busy in the past days, and I was able to create only a few videos and interviews, like my interview with Patrick. But in God's time, in God's will, with the technology and resources that are available, I will be able to make more videos with them. And hopefully the other workers, the other members of this Catholicism RAC also will support us, especially me, because of this. Yeah, you told us about the distance, the time that we have. We may have different time, different distance, orientation, but with our one mission, I believe that together we can make it. We can make a difference with the different talents that God has given to us. For the other members of the Catholicism Rocks, they can visit the website and to see contributors and other people behind this mission.
Yep. So let's take a look at the website right now. I'm pulling it up, Catholicism Rocks, to kind of walk you through it. Hold on, I type in very slowly.
All right. Okay. Thank you, because I'm only holding my cell phone right now.
Right,
so
right.
While you're scrolling that, I would like to ask the people to please, this Catholicism Rock is more than just a website. It is actually a movement of faithful Catholics who are not afraid to stand up for their beliefs and values. We are a family here. As one family, we must support each other in prayer and in action. As Saint Benedict said, prayer and work must work. We are a voice that speaks against the evil of our time, and we proclaim the gospel through our life. So
yeah,
please join us, not only today.
You're right. It's not just a website. It's more like an interactive community. There are so many mm-hmm. ways for you to get engaged. There's the forum. There's people, almost everyone who's a member has the opportunity to contribute on the forum. There's an Ask Father section. There's an area to shop for merchandise. There's videos and podcasts. There's areas to get involved with spiritual adoption. I mean, it just the website is really amazing and really well put together. And they are affiliated with a lot of different pro-life organizations. Pro-life is very, very important here. 40 Days for Life, Priests for Life, LifeNews.com, Catholic Vote, Abby J, and the American Life League. And in fact, American Life League, I used to live like only 2 miles from where that is actually centered in Front Royal, Virginia. So. I mean, they're just doing a lot of things, and their group, their Facebook group, is not a small thing. I mean, let me pull it up here.
It's actually growing. It's more than 49,000 members.
More than 49,000 members on that group. That's
the website.
Yeah. On the website, more than 49,000 members, and in the Facebook group, almost 800 members. So, there's a lot of reach. There's a lot of reach there, but they're very, very selective. they want legitimate, faithful, devout Catholics. They don't want cafeteria Catholics in this group. Catholics who are, cultural liberals who, say they're Catholic, but, the Catholic, but Catholics, I'm Catholic, but I'm pro-abortion. I'm Catholic, but I'm pro, gay marriage or what have you. There's none of that going on here. The other thing about it is how much they are reaching out to affiliate themselves with other Catholic organizations and other Catholic apologists. For instance, almost all of the members of the Four Persons are also members of Catholicism Rocks. And anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, that's good. I am actually a part of the Catholicism Rock first, but you were my friend for more than 2 years already. So it's a partnership. I work for you, and I work for the Catholicism Rock. So
wow, has it been that long? Wow.
It's really a challenge and an opportunity and a blessing for me to share my videos, my blog,
yeah.
And my
And the interesting thing, like you said, Catholicism Rocks is founded by Sean Murray in Ireland. So now you have three different perspectives. You have the Philippines, you have Ireland, you have America. It's the same Catholic faith. It's the same Catholic faith, the same joy that we that we express. And we were overjoyed when they asked to become part of, our operation here, and how that's going to change over time. We'll see. They may add more than one show going forward. But Catholicism Rocks is a nonprofit. They're a legal nonprofit. I don't know what the designation is in Ireland, but. Kathy is the other member, and she's actually in the United States. She's in California. So we kind of got that thing going on. But we're also a nonprofit, a 501c3 licensed nonprofit here in the United States. So the partnership, partnership is working very, very well. In our country, Cherry, we have a president who claims to be Catholic and is anything but. In fact, he's he's Catholic in name only, but by his practices, by the things that he does, he's actually an enemy, an open, hostile enemy of the Catholic Church and what we really teach and profess. What is the climate against the church where you live? Are you experiencing the same thing? Is your government actually hostile to your faith, or?
That's really, I think, a perennial problem, not only in the United States, but all over the world. There are actually most of the government officials are graduated from a Catholic school, but sad to say, our problem is this corrupt government in the Philippines. That's actually the cause of the poverty. Because we have this, what we call the split-level Christianity. We have this belief, we have all this knowledge of the commandments and the teachings of God, but yet we don't do this, we don't show it as, we are not really a practicing Catholics, although Filipinos are really religious in nature. We can see a lot of religious practice in the Philippines, and most of the people really are Catholics.
Right.
We are the only one Catholic country in Asia. So, but then that's the problem also, that most of the leaders are Catholics, but let's say we are not really perfect. So,
yeah.
But we have to work with that. That's a challenge.
Well, I mean,
we
have the same thing going on in this country. I mean, when you and I kind of first met online, I was leaving the Catholic apostle that I formed 14 years ago, that is, since fallen into complete heresy. It's run by, really, there's only one person left that's running it, and he's just absolutely run it into the ditch. There's a lot of dissent within the Catholic Church country, and that's because of people want to follow every fanatical new voice that comes along. Anybody that's got some shiny new private revelation that people want to latch onto and some flavor of the week belief. Cherry, it all comes down to fidelity to the magisterium. It comes down to humility and obedience. If you don't have humility and you don't have obedience, somehow you've missed out on what the, because without humility and without obedience, pride takes over. Pride takes over because you're not willing to be questioned. You're not willing to be corrected. You're not willing to suffer. You're not willing to sacrifice because your pride takes over. Humility and obedience, those are the most important things to our Catholic faith. Do you agree?
That's true. And actually, that's the gospel reading as today here in the Philippines. We are on the second day of the July 2. We are on the 13th Sunday of the ordinary day. The theme of the gospel is actually that talks about humility and obedience, as Jesus is telling us. The reward is great if we're going to love God above all things, but we should also serve others. So indeed, that's true. We must be obedient and we must be humble enough to leave these evil works and to fight and stand for what is right. So if we're really true and practicing Catholics, we must show it in our lives.
Do you want to go ahead?
We are not perfect.
Do you want to go ahead and read those readings and we can kind of discuss it, read the readings for Sunday?
Actually, I have to scroll it for a while. It's not yet in my.
Well, if you want me to pull them up, I can do that.
Okay, can you please read that for me?
All right.
The technology maybe can stop us for a while, but with a desire and perseverance, God will help us to find solution for that. As my computer crashed.
So now, so these are the readings for July 2nd, as you said, the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. So reading number one is from 2 Kings. One day Elisha came to Shunem, where there was a woman of influence who urged him to dine with her. Afterwards, whenever he passed by, he used to stop there to dine. So she said to her husband, I know that Elisha is a holy man of God. And that's Elisha, not with the J. It's Elisha, the second one. So she said to her husband, I know that Elisha is a holy man of God. Since he visits us often, let us arrange a little room on the roof and furnish it for him with a bed, table, chair, and a lamp, so that when he comes to us, he can stay there. Sometime later, Elisha arrived and stayed in the room overnight. Later, Elisha asked, can something be done for her? His servant Gehazi answered, yes. She has no son, and her husband is getting on in years. Elisha said, call her. When the woman had been called and stood at the door, Elisha promised, this time next year, you will be fondling a baby son. The responsorial psalm is, forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. The promises of the Lord I will sing forever. Through all generations my mouth shall proclaim your faithfulness, for you have said my kindness is established forever. In heaven you have confirmed your faithfulness. Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. Blessed the people who know the joyful shout in the light of your countenance. O Lord, they walk. At the time they rejoice all day. And through your justice they are exalted. Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. You are the splendor of their strength, and by your favor our horn is exalted. For to the Lord belongs our shield, and to the Holy One of Israel our King. Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. Two is from Romans chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in the newness of life. If then we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has power over him. As to his death, he died to sin once and for all. As to his life, he lives for God. Consequently, you too must think for yourselves as dead to sin and living for Christ Jesus. The gospel is from Matthew. Go ahead.
Allow me to read the gospel.
Yes.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter above me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever will have lost his life because of me shall find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive the reward of a prophet. And whoever receives the just in the name of the just shall receive the reward of the just. And whoever shall give even to the one of the least of these a cup of cold water to drink solely in the name of the disciple. Amen, I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Isn't it? The reading is actually telling us about this. We have to love God above all.
And we have to prove that love. We have to prove that love by our actions, by the way that we support the disciples, by the way that we carry our own crosses. All of these things, faith has to be proven. Faith has to be proven by actions. This passage right here disproves this idea that we're saved by, you know, by faith alone, which is to say that we're saved by an assent to faith alone. We're not. We're not. Our faith
right.
has to be tested. And think of Cherry, think of how shocking this must have been to the first century Jews who were hearing it when Jesus is telling them they have to take up their cross. Because at that point, the cross only had one meaning. It was a means of a torturous death at the hands of the Romans. They couldn't have understood the way that taking up your cross means dealing with the burdens, accepting the burdens and the sufferings and the sacrifices that come to you in life. It's not about seeking out ways to suffer, but it's accepting the sufferings that come to you in life and uniting those with the sufferings of Christ. And you can't do that without grace, and you can't receive that grace without humility and obedience. So humility and obedience, it comes back to that. That's what unlocks the door.
That's true. As Saint Teresa said, that obedience is the mother of all virtues, and that is the first, the first proof of love. If we love God, we must obey him. And we must obey with humility. As in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 to 39 says, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever have lost his life because of me shall find it. Isn't it amazing that the reward is really great for all of us? Although
right.
we are doing some sacrifices, meeting these struggles, connectivity issues, some gadget, as I always say that, I sometimes run out of gas, as an acronym, gas is gadget, assistance, and sometimes support. We can find ways because God is with us.
Yep.
So if I run out of gas, I can use diesel instead. So
right.
this diesel is an acronym for I can use dedication. I can use inspiration and intervention from God, intercession from the Holy Spirit. from God, from the Holy Mother, I mean, for E is an encounter and experience with one another, and S is for sacrifice. Another E is for my exerting effort. And finally, L is love. So if I run out of cash, gadget, apps, or assistance and support, I can use diesel. Diesel stands for my devotion and dedication, my inspiration and encounter with God, sacrifice, exerting effort, and love.
Wow.
Right.
On that note, we do have to take a quick break. I've got a commercial I have to play, and then we will be right back on Catholicism Rocks on the Four Persons. We'll be right back right after this message.
Top Gun.
Top Gun of Virginia has been serving the East Coast with quality swimming pool, shot creek, and gunite applications for over 35 years. The strong legacy of craftsmanship that Top Gun has garnered is backed by the pride we take in creating a lasting product. Top Gun will help you stay on schedule and within budget, while still maintaining the level of quality control and safety that is expected from a name with 35 years of experience.
Top Gun.
Top Gun of Virginia is a premier supplier of commercial shotcrete and gunite services on the East Coast. Shotcrete and gunite are forms of pneumatically applied concrete which can be used to build or repair structures. Shotcrete and gunite can perform jobs which are not possible or are more difficult with traditional, form and pour, concrete applications. Top Gun uses our own volumetric trucks to apply engineer-certified mixes of both wet and dry process applications to meet any need.
Top Gun. Top Gun is located at 10017 Richmond Highway, Lorton, Virginia, 22079. You can reach them at 703-550-9207 or email them at info@topgungunite.com. Make sure you mention that you heard this ad on the Four Persons Podcast.
Really quick, I want to go into what's coming up on the Four Persons. Now, tomorrow, I do not have a Sunday show scheduled, but you never know. Something, we could do one at the last minute, decide to do an impromptu show tomorrow, or we could, you know, replay something from the past, or who knows. But tomorrow, I do have a scheduled podcast on someone else's show, on their video show, and it's the CBS program, which is Catholics Versus, and they normally like to debate people from other groups, and that's going to be very interesting. It's going to be video. It's going to be recorded on video. When that will become available to the public, I don't know. I'll find out, but we'll make that available on our YouTube channel when it does. On Monday, we return with Deb Rojas and The Tangled Knot. We'll return on Monday. We're going to have a special pre-recorded Independence Day special. July 4th is Independence Day here in the United States. On Wednesday, we've got a doubleheader at 7 p.m. Eastern. We've got Uncounseling with Dr. Fred Boley, followed by Ipsatilla. Is a Catholic parody artist. She does Catholic parody songs, and that's going to be a really, really interesting show, and I can't wait for that. And then on Thursday, we have world-renowned Marian apparition expert, Kevin Simmons, and that's going to be a really interesting show because he's going to be talking about Marian apparitions and causes them to be approved, what causes them to be condemned, what is the criteria. And, you know, we're going to be talking about some of the, you know, some of the big ones that are, you know, some of the big ones that are known, like, for instance, some of the big approved ones that are known are, you know, like you know, like Fatima, like Lourdes, La Salette, Guadalupe. Oh, hold on, I'm trying to pull up the technology is not cooperating with me right now. Yes, and that's Kevin Simmons. And again, that's on the 6th. That's on Thursday. So we got quite a slate going. And also, we're going to be starting. Richard Pettis is going to be doing a daily show, probably starting Monday. And it's going to be a short show every day at 3 p.m. Eastern time. He's going to do the Divine Mercy at the Hour of Mercy, followed by the Saint of the Day. So got some exciting stuff coming up. Cherry, what do you think?
Wow. That's great. Your radio show is really a full pack of amazing videos, and people who are committed to really stand for their faith and do more evangelization. And this is a great platform for the Catholics. I hope that they will find their way to support your humble mission. And to all those people who are listening right now, please support us, because this is a non-profit organization. We can do more quality videos, blogs, if you are all also get some support from you guys. So please be with us, not only in prayers, I hope, but in actions.
Yep.
Right.
What are some of the guests that you'd like to see us get on, and some of the subjects that you'd like to see us cover? Do you have any suggestions?
Actually, because this is a show for this Catholic, we must first and foremost give them some insights, or probably a way to revitalize their faith by going back to the basic teachings of the church, and then we can have it also be put in this real time and also the modern time. How are we going to do this? The four senses of the scriptures is first and foremost. We need to go back to the story, the real story that happened, and then after knowing what happened, what must be our reactions, our actions, and of course we can do better if we are well equipped with this scripture. So we have to provide them really with this knowledge of our faith.
Mm-hmm. So what is next for your apostolate? What are you working on now, and what do you think some of your next projects are going to be?
I'm actually preparing for this catechism with acronyms. So I will be providing basic catechesis using the Catholic Faith Catechism, and with the Holy Spirit, of course, that is always teaching me something, some new ideas. I will be bringing a summary. I'll be making a summary of this faith using an acronym for the people, the Catholics, to easily memorize and remember the Catholic faith. So please pray for that, that I will be able to have my gadgets fixed and have some resources to make this mission and vision possible.
Amen. We have one of our most important members is on the line. Terry, how you doing, brother?
Oh, pretty good, brother. Pretty good. Sorry, I had to break off for a minute. Got caught up in conversation with Deacon, so I haven't really been listening in. But I wanted to call in and show my support.
Well, thank you. And I want to say, Terry, that you, I don't know if, Terry, are you able to hear Terry or you can't hear him?
I can't hear him right now.
Okay. So, we'll have to get that ironed out. I can hear both of you, but Terry can't hear you, Terry. If that's a technical problem, I'll have to get that worked out. But anyway, Terry, I want to congratulate you on we had a fantastic show earlier. That was those are the kind of shows that just get your blood pumping, don't they?
Oh yeah, right. Oh yeah.
Thank you so much
about,
for this wonderful opportunity to share my mission and vision, and with the help of God together, really we can build bridges. Not only of prayer, but of course we can build bridges of faith to build heaven here on earth. And as Catholicism rocks through the four person that incorporation and the Facebook, my Facebook page, please follow and like my Sherry Maestro Mallorca Facebook page as support for my vision and mission. And of course, I have also my YouTube channel, Miss Sherry Acronym Lady. Thank you so much, yep. And a blessed Sunday to all of us.
Amen. So for Terry Dell and for Cherry Maestro Mallorca, let me end this with prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail,
Amen.
Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. Hail our life, our sweetness, and our hope.
Sweetness and our hope.
To thee do we cry for banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, our most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy towards us. And after this, our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of
the
promises
of
Christ.
Terry,
thank you for calling in, and congratulations, like I said, on a great show that you had in the first part. And Terry, thank you for calling in and for everything that is being done at Catholicism Rocks. And Terry, back to you. The sky's the limit on what we can accomplish here, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
All right. Thank you so much. Amen. See you again next Sunday. God bless. Bye.
God
Take
bless
you
guys.
Time.
Have
Thank
a wonderful,
God
wonderful
bless.
Weekend. And Terry, have a blessed 4th of July.
Sunday.
Amen.
Thank you. Bye.
God bless. Good night.